Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and my name is Kojo Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, the founder of Red Rocks Initiatives, Greg Bakunsi, talks about the urgent need for diversification in the tourism sector in order to help sustain their business, and also recount measures taken by the government of Rwanda to get tourism restarted.
Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and today I have a guest who's been on the podcast before, a sustainability champion from Rwanda, and this is the person of Greg Bakunsi, and he'll be telling me what he's been doing during the COVID lockdown times, and then what is it that he thinks from the experience we can do to ensure that people within the tourism ecosystem are able to get themselves prepared for the new normal. Greg, good evening.
Good evening, Kojo.
Perfect. So, tell me, how's Rwanda? Rwanda is beginning to open up and all of that.
Yeah, Rwanda is starting opening up. At the moment, I have to say what is opening up is the air borders is open, but the land borders are not yet open. But we are expecting they might open them in the next couple of few days coming.
Okay, excellent. And how are things? Are things beginning to come back to normal in terms of activities in the cities? And then we just go to generally, I mean, specifically on tourism?
Yeah, on tourism part, once they opened up for people to travel to provinces, there are a lot of people who were kind of locked in the cities and they just really wanted to go to up country. So this went on well and has been already going on. Like, it was going in a format of domestic tourism where people really wanted to go to some places and check them out, to visit to some protected areas like national parks and do some community-based activities, do the camping, because, you know, being in houses for 3 months, 45 days, and then they are still like, so they needed that kind of, you know, get out and get some fresh air outside in a camp, and, you know, so that's what has been happening.
How did you manage your business and your NGO during the lockdown? Because I saw that you're putting up a couple of initiatives with the women and women and cultural heritage tourism.
With my organization of Red Rocks Initiative, all what we did was to kind of comfort our community members, our cooperatives that we really work with, and the only way we are really comforting them was to have like some workshops, regular communications, and also trying to see what else can we do. So we just came up with different community-based tourism product that we started really touching on during the COVID, and trying to prepare ourselves when things turns up to be in a normal way, then we are ready to go. Our staff, of course, we had to reduce our staff. All the members from the community that we are involved in our tourism initiatives, we had to send them back home, but now it's time to bring them back through our initiative, through training, workshops, and also to, you know, to talk to them and try to reorganize ourselves as we look forward to see the reopening coming up again. Even though the normal, we won't go to the normal way how we used it to be in the past, but we still have a hope that things might take time, but come back to normal, or just we lose like a certain percentage from what we used it to have.
What was the one thing or the things that you brought on board your organization during the COVID that you think that will be an integral part going forward?
What I brought out on the board as a part of really, you know, getting back to work, I thought, okay, we have been really doing some community-based tours, but how can we combine? Let's say, for example, 89% of all our communities are farmers. They do, they grow. And what was lacking during the COVID was the food security. If you are having really the food, that was really good. So what we are now trying to do, we are trying to see how can we turn the normal things that the locals have been doing, which is agriculture, into agrotourism. How can we encourage people to do the food tours? If every destination is being identified by the food they eat, the food they prepare, the way how they prepare it, you know. So we are really trying to see how can we develop agrotourism, how can we promote that. So as a part of the tourism income generating, at the same time sustaining the community, finding themselves that we have enough food which we could even share with other people. Not only their own food, but sharing it with other people. So we are trying to drive that in the agriculture system into agrotourism. Then we have the food tours, we have the food testing. We create like stories behind every food that we're gonna be serving, which will be grown by the local communities.
You did mention about how small businesses that you work with, and even individuals that work in the village, most of them have their incomes gone. Now, in this new normal that we saw, that a lot of businesses, in a strict sense, were not sustainable, what things do you think that you've done right to, in our new normal that we are all going through, you are able to imbibe sustainability, inclusion, to be a pillar of your business?
Yes. I think the type of the tourism, doing community-based tourism, this is something that it doesn't really need a modification, because it's something that the local communities have been really doing. It goes with the culture, history. It's something that has been there for a long time. So all what it needs is to see how can we put this outside through people like you, through your organization, through putting us on the TV. So we need exposure. We need this kind of partnership so that people from Ghana, they know, oh, there are people from Rwanda who are doing A, B, C, D. So what we are now doing is to see how can we bring all those people together, and then we invite also other partners, we invite other stakeholders, people doing the same thing, to come on board and work with us. So that's all what we need to do, because we always find, we always see that our culture, our history doesn't need any kind of modification, but it only needs visibility, which you as a travel journalist is trying to, to bring us on the world map, on the continent map, to share our experience, our history, our culture with other people that would really to experience this.
Okay, now let's come to capacity building. What have you done to, create awareness for the people, in the village and those that you work with, to understand their role in the whole tourism ecosystem?
Yeah, working with the local communities is not really something that simple. We don't have really radios, TVs that are going to show our things. So we only have the way how we could expose us, carry on the awareness, is through the word of mouth. So what we could do, we could make sure that in every village, at least we pick 2 to 3 people to come to our workshop, and we show them what we are doing. We try to work together to identify different tourism community, tourism products that we can sell to the people who will be coming to us. So that's the only way we have tried to bring the awareness into the community. It's through word of mouth.
Okay. Now, going forward, how do you then, what is your advice for government to support a small business like yourself or other individuals who are doing things to bring people from the bottom, to be part of the whole tourism system?
I think the only thing that they can support us with is to say, let's say, for all what we are doing is on the ground level. It's just deep in the village, it's in the rural areas. How can they help us to bring them on the map? If they can be able to put our products, every product that is being developed in the local community, to put it under the Rwanda Development Board website. You know, when people are checking about the gorillas, which is the famous attraction, tourism attraction for our country, putting up the Kagera National Park, which is also another protected area, which is also famous. So it's also good just like to see how can we mix them all this, and they also they get to be more visible. So the only thing I could really ask for the government is to put us on the map, bring our product designed, you know, they help us to, you know, stimulate it and put it in a very, very proper way and with a very great content or description, and then they just put them out there on their website so that when the tourism industry turns back, then we are already on the map. We are already in the market, and who knows who is going to pick any of our initiatives, our tourism product that we will have developed. So all what we need right now is the visibility and also being more digital.
Now in wrapping up, what will be your, you know, your final words for people also in the rural community who can be part of the whole tourism in entrepreneurial journey? Because people are in the village, but there are also opportunities that they can be able to take up jobs in tourism. What would be your advice?
The advice I would really give to all the stakeholders is not only to see the community-based tourism that we are doing only in one angle of like facing the international tourists coming in, but they should also be looking it into like local tourists. You know, they should also look, try also to target the neighbors, to target the people around them so that they know. And what has happened like through all this COVID, it has to be a lesson to us so that we know how to can we deal with the future pandemic if it comes in our industry, like the way how the COVID-19 came. So the only way that we can really come out from this, the only way that we can really resist from what is happening in the tourism industry is to make sure that we don't see it in one angle, but we try to do the diversification and see it in different angles. Well, meaning we see it from the international tourist, we do it from the regional tourist, the continent angle, and also we see them in the country itself. If we as one is, if I can be able to travel from A up to Z to experience the meals they are cooking there, the food they have grown, that will really sustain our industry. So let us try to work together, let us try to cooperate, and let us try also to see where can I go and experience this. Let us put our experiences, our product on the right position as we wait for the tourism to come.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Kojo.